Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, it was the middle of the night and he saw his grandparents in his bedroom. Thing is, they were both dead.
This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
If you have a real ghost story, we sure would like to hear it, so you can call in anytime. 855-853-4802. You can write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. And if you want an ad-free version of the show along with advanced episodes and access to the archive, then become a premium subscriber. You can do that through Apple Podcasts. You can try it 3 days free. You can also sign up through patreon.com/realghoststories or at ghostpodcast.com. I'm Carol Hughes, and Kathy Gordon's with me today.
Well, sort of. And the reason I say sort of is because I traveled yesterday, and everything was delayed, and I didn't get into town until like 1:30 in the morning, and Carol had to come clear to the airport in the middle of the night and pick me up. And so it was like 2 o'clock before we got to bed.
I should get a good sister and badge.
Yes. And so that's why I said I'm sort of here. But this is what I do have to tell you, that I was traveling last night on a plane, and it was like we were kind of going around thunderstorms, and so you could see lightning off in the distance, and I was sitting right in that area where you could look out to the wing and the light blinks off and on. And I could just think of the Twilight Zone where he sees the guy out there
on the wing of the plane.
Yeah. And he flips out because he sees the guy. So I think that was William Shatner that was flipping out.
I kind of think so. And I remember seeing that as a child. And every time to this day when I fly and I can see the wing, I think of that
Me too.
Twilight Zone.
Like
episode.
All I could see was literally. I would think, is there somebody going to be standing there every time that stupid light flashed, you know?
And it's like, no. But no. What if?
What if? Might be in the next flash.
It could be creepy.
Yeah.
It could be a paranormal event going on.
Yeah, it was pretty rough.
Like, literally, it was a pretty rough
flight. It
was
really rough. Yeah, it was like my head got banged against the window at one point. So, yeah, it was really turbulent.
Well, that's a thing. We had a line of storms, and she was at a layover in Denver, and I was like, maybe they'll drop south, like into Oklahoma or Texas, and come back up to get around that, and they did.
Yeah, but we still had to go around it, so it still had a lot of turbulence in the air, but I'm here, and I'm glad to be here, because I love this podcast and doing this with you.
Well, good, because we've got one to listen to. Are you ready?
I so much am.
Okay, here you go.
Hi, my name is Daniel Abbey. I am from Ontario, Canada. I have a story that is a little sad, actually, but it's very nice at the same time. So my grandmother had been diagnosed with congestive heart failure, and she passed away in early March of this year. Well, when she died, the day that I found out that she died, I saw two figures standing at the edge of my bed, and they were about 33 years old. And one was my grandfather. He passed away in 1986. And the other one was my grandma. And I knew who they were, and I saw them, and they both floated right in front of me. I saw them standing at the edge of my bed. I told my wife, I tried to get her attention. And she was still sleeping. It was about 2 o'clock in the morning. And I saw them, and they were there 1 second and gone the next. It was the most beautiful thing I've ever seen. It wasn't very frightening because I knew where they were and who they were. The other thing that I saw was when my wife was in labor, her great-grandmother had passed away the day that our daughter was born. And we were in the hospital room, and we saw a pink orb that was sitting on the chair. It sat on the chair, and then it flew up and out of the hospital room into another room, and then it was gone. And that's what I saw, and my wife saw it, and it was, it wasn't frightening. It wasn't at all scary, but it was a very, very cool experience, and that was the end of it. That's all we saw. And I have a lot more stories. I'm probably going to call in again, but those are the two that I have for now. Thanks for taking the time. Bye-bye.
Well, so out of curiosity, when he said pink orb, I looked it up. Mm-hmm. So what does a pink orb mean? It says love and peace is what a pink orb means. Pink orbs are thought to be the harbingers of love and peace. The messages and meanings of pink orbs vary, but all are positive in their intent. The appearance of a pink orb is generally believed to be part of a spiritual visitation or paranormal event. Many people report feeling a wave of energy from their pink orb visitors. And this says they are associated with love, affection, compassion, and openness. Oh. So it almost makes me think back to the grandparents.
Yeah.
Because it's the birth of the baby.
That is so beautiful.
I mean, you can hear it in his voice. He's 100%, like he saw his grandparents in his bedroom. What,
okay, one thing that I was confused about was he said they were 33.
Yeah, I thought that was very specific.
That's what I thought too. Like, how did he know? Like, I mean, they weren't 35 or 32.
I don't know. He
seemed to know that number.
Maybe there was a picture of them taken at that age. Oh. That's kind of the one that everybody in the family kind of has, you know, that one really great picture.
When they were 33.
Yeah. That everybody knows, and they're standing in front of that car they loved.
Yeah, exactly. I could see it right now. Yeah, that would kind of explain that. Boy, is that strange, though. Like, he woke up, and he sees them, but they vanish really quickly, too. You know, I just think that there's a point where we're open to a different dimension. Don't you?
Yeah, because there might be a brief window that they were able to get through to him because, number one, he was sleeping. Mm-hmm. But maybe it was kind of like done in a way that, look, we're together, mm-hmm. and we wanted you to know that.
But
we're
watching
over you.
I just wonder if there's a point where you're open to something, like right at that, like I'm waking up or I falling asleep, that, you know, sometimes maybe you hear whispers or somebody say something. I always wonder, is it somebody there in the room with you, or are you just open to a wavelength that you might have heard somebody that's way far away? You just happen to be on the same wavelength as them, and they said something and you heard it. That it's kind of a consciousness,
kind of
a universal
like that
consciousness.
When we've talked about it before, where you're just, you know, doing whatever it is you're doing, and you hear somebody go, Carol, mm-hmm. or Kathy, and you're like, yeah. And then you realize, oh, shit, I'm alone in my house. There's nobody here to say hello to me.
Mm-hmm. But now that would be somebody that's pointedly trying to get your mm-hmm. attention. But sometimes maybe you just hear something random.
Twilight Zone sort of chattery stuff.
Yeah.
Since we just mentioned
we blame
the
that on Rod Sterling.
right.
Serling, right? I'm wondering if that somehow he was just briefly opened up mm-hmm. To align with them or an openness consciousness level with them. And then they were there. Now they may be there a lot. You're just not on that same wavelength, you know?
I think so. A lot of those people who pass who are you're very connected to, I think they're kind of there with you mm-hmm. a lot of the time.
Yeah, I do
That's
too.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
You want to hear another story?
I would love to hear another story.
So when I was a senior in high school in 1992, we took a family trip to a very small town in southwest Texas at Christmas. This included my mom, my stepdad, my sister, and my little brother. We went to visit my stepdad's family, whom we had never met before. Well, I assume his stepdad had met his family before. That was a little joke. My little brother was 13 months old. During my mother's pregnancy with him, my stepdad's brother was so excited about the arrival of my brother. He would write letters and tell my stepdad how excited he was and could not wait to meet him. During this time, my stepdad's brother was very ill, so much so that he passed away before my brother was born. Back to the trip, We drove straight through from Michigan to Texas.
No way. That in itself is
they
some sort of...
They had a 13-month-old.
Oh, my
How is that even God. Possible?
You know, I have to tell you something really quick here, just to put this in perspective. One day, I got up at 8 o'clock in the morning, and I drove from south, like the Gulf Coast. And I drove... Now, I went to Austin. I do think I was in Austin 2 or 3 hours. And then I went on. At 11 o'clock at night, I pulled over and got a hotel room because I was too tired. And I was on the Texas line. I had not made it out of the state of Texas.
Because it's about, what, eight hours-ish?
Well, this was further than that because I went clear. I was headed to Nashville. But, like, I had driven all those hours, and I still wasn't even out of the state. And so the thought of going on to Michigan.
And it's southwest Texas, not even northwest Texas.
Right. Okay.
Oh, my God. That sounds like a nightmare. Once we got to the town his family lived in, it was very late, and we went straight to the hotel and checked in. We went to sleep shortly after, my mom and stepdad in one bed, my sister and little brother in bed with me. This is where things began to get confusing for me because I don't know if I was awake, sleeping, or what, but I remember seeing a beam of white light, no bigger than a quarter, on the wall behind my bed. I felt like this light was focused on my little brother, not shining on him, but there because of him. I don't really know how to explain this other than it was just a feeling I was getting. I don't remember being afraid, but again, I'm so confused if I was awake or asleep. The next morning, I told this to my mom and stepdad, and I also told them that I dreamt that I was supposed to tell them about a picture and a Playboy bunny. My stepdad's face dropped, and he and my mom went into the other area of our room to talk. My mom returned and said she wanted me to tell my stepdad's parents about this. When we finally got to his family's house, my mother told her mother-in-law that she wanted me to tell her about my dream. I told her about the light, the picture, and the Playboy bunny. She started crying and went to the other room. When she returned, she had a picture of my stepdad's deceased brother. He was wearing a sweater with a Playboy bunny stitched onto it near the collar. She told me she believed that was her son that visited us that night because he so badly wanted to meet my brother. She was so happy and told me this was the best present she had received. She told so many family members about this, and they all seemed to be so happy. I had never met this person before. Why would I pick up on such things I knew nothing of? I am still unsure. So we can jump in here. I'm going to take the guess. I don't know how old she is at the time, but I just think it's easier to get through to the kids.
I think you're absolutely right about that.
Even though she never met him, you know, the mom and dad, they've been driving all day. They're exhausted.
And my guess is she knew nothing about a Playboy bunny.
No.
Like, she wouldn't even have a clue what that meant.
In very specific, Playboy bunny. So maybe they kind of test the water. It's like, I'd like to get through to my brother. He ain't having it. Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe I can get through to that one.
I'm wondering, you know, we were talking about a second ago, like this idea of being open to, you know, things. And I think it's, like you said, kids really are. Stand them right in the room and mom and dad are sound asleep and not available.
And then to see the light, then to eventually fall asleep and have that dream too. So we had extended our stay in Texas by a few days, but my parents had only budgeted for a certain amount of days at the hotel. They decided we would stay at my stepdad's house. Did I mention this house previously had been a funeral home? Yes. Needless to say, I was very scared and did not want to stay, but I was 17. Oh, so she would know.
Okay, yeah.
A Playboy bunny. I was 17 and didn't really have a say. Our first night there was New Year's Eve, and the adults decided to go to a New Year's Eve party, leaving me at the house with just my sister and brother. The room we'd stayed in was my stepdad's brother's room before he had moved out. I lay in bed that night with my siblings, scared to death, listening to every creak in the house. I felt like there was something bad outside of the room, and as terrified as I was, I didn't feel like it could come into that room. as if the doorway was a threshold that was protecting me. I still haven't forgiven my parents for leaving me that night. Ha, ha. So apparently that's just friendly.
Yeah.
I have had several other experiences since that time in a couple of different houses that I've lived in that I would like to share later, if interested. Listening to your feedback on other stories has me wondering more about my own experiences. I hope to hear my story on your show and would love to hear your thoughts. You know, I think it's interesting about staying there and feeling like that. Number one, if I knew the house had been a funeral home going into it, I'm never going to sleep well.
Well, true.
I could see how you would be scared just with that knowledge. And you're the adult, basically, you know, you're mm-hmm. babysitting and you have to protect everybody. And you're, I would be the same way. Yeah. I'd be laying there listening for every creak and sound, but then kind of feeling a presence that might've been something else, but then she's in the brother's room. And so it's like, you're safe in there, but she didn't feel safe in there.
Yeah.
I think that's kind of interesting.
Yeah, I do too. I mean, coming from someone who lived in an old funeral home for a while, I get it.
You know, as people do.
Yeah. Well, you know, if you haven't done it, I highly recommend it.
Not.
No, I don't know. It was very interesting to live there, but I get that feeling. I mean, there's always kind of a feeling of a presence.
But you know? your building actually did have a presence.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It wasn't like just a feeling of one. It was legit there. So I think that's interesting. I think the brother did come to her and give her a message.
No question. No question about that. I think that really happened.
Now, I don't know if anything paranormal happened at the house. It could just be your imagination going crazy because it's like, this house was a funeral home. He came to me in a dream and everybody seems fascinated by my dream. And I saw the light and is the brother going to touch me as soon as I fall asleep? And you know, I don't mean that in a creepy way. I mean, just wake you up.
But I'd like to know about this. Has anyone else had experiences in this funeral home? Is this bigger than just you, or have you been back? Have you found anything? I do hope she writes back because she says that there's been more things that have occurred and I'd love to hear about those.
So if you like the show and you want an ad-free experience, sign up to be a premium subscriber. Do that through Apple Podcasts. Try it 3 days free. You can sign up through patreon.com/realghoststories if you want to go that route, or at ghostpodcast.com. For all of us here at Real Ghost Stories Online, thank you for listening.